Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Well, folks, coming up here in April, we have our Spring Share-a-thon. And so if you've been a longtime listener, you know what that means. It is time to send in, call in your listener stories. We are gathering stories now to play during our Spring Share-a-thon and kind of in the run-up to it. So the question is this: has the Lord used American Family Radio in your life? Have we been there or given the right thought at just the right time? We want you to share your story with us. We'd like to hear your AFR story. So what we're asking you to do is call and share for a minute or two. We like to keep these short because we can't run, you know, 5-minute testimonies, even though they may be very encouraging. We don't have the time for that. So a minute or two, and you might hear yourself during Share-a-thon. So call and share your testimony, your listener story about American Family Radio. Here's the number to do that. Our listener story line is 877-876-8893. Giving you a moment to grab a pen and a piece of paper. 877-876-8893. We'd like to hear your AFR story. It could be a blessing and encouragement to others. Tell us how Christ has used AFR in your life. The number to call for our listener story line is 877-876-8893. We look forward to hearing your listener story. All right, we're going to get back to the news. And for that to happen, we got to have a news guy. Someone who brings in the stories, and that's Steve Jordahl. Steve,
hey,
welcome.
Thank you, Tim.
Tim, Ed.
Ed, and Fred. Yeah, I'm with it. So I just thought I'm sure that we got dozens and dozens of emails of people concerned about my knee and my experiment yesterday with the Reese's, right? The chocolate or
yes.
The peanut butter. So today I'm moving on. Neither one of those seemed to help a whole lot. Although the testing will continue.
Yes.
Today I am going with cupcakes.
Yes, I was going to ask you, what's the cupcake? What's the deal with the cupcakes?
It's for my knee.
For your knee?
Yes, let's see if cupcakes work to help, and I will thoroughly test that as well in the scientific experiment.
Well, my understanding is that a sugar coma can keep you from feeling pain.
Well, there you go.
And so I hear that. I've never myself experienced it, but I've tried
yeah.
best of my ability to eat as much sugar as possible from time to time, but it didn't. It didn't stop
never,
pain
never
in my heart,
pain.
Steve.
I haven't my knee. Got room for the pain. No, I haven't got room.
Oh, Steve, he is good, got a good voice, and he remembers all these oldies,
olden oldies. Okay.
All right.
Well, we have for a long time suspected that climate change is a religion, right? We've been talking about how climate change is kind of a religion. And I didn't ask, Brent, did you get cut 13? Okay. Well, we have... Now have it confirmed.
That climate change
is
these folks that are pushing for all the changes, this is a religious thing to them.
Yes. The Faculty of Theology at the University of Helsinki is going to give Greta Thunberg an honorary doctorate of theology.
So Greta Thunberg, the 15-year-old, I think, when she started off, or 16?
Maybe even younger. She's been around for a while. She sailed across the ocean at age.
Where was it? The United Nations when she said, how dare you?
Yes, that was later on, but yes.
Okay.
Yes. How dare you?
Yes.
So they've given 9 doctorates out, and every other one of these are, you know, World Lutheran Federation, Vice President of Church History, New Testament Studies, and Greta Thunberg, activist. Now, we listened in a little bit on the investors ceremony, which is actually coming up, but if you'll grant me a little license here.
Okay.
This is why we know it's a religion, and this is what they're probably going to hear. You're probably going to hear at the investors ceremony, cut 13.
The climate is changing. Creation cries out. Your people face flooding, fire and drought. We see the great heat waves and storms at their worst. We pray for the poor, Lord, for they suffer.
It is a
what
religion.
What is that?
It's a climate hymn.
It's a climate hymn?
Climate change hymn. It's actually the name of it. It's climate change hymn.
All right, Fred. Now, first of all, let me just say this about Greta Thunberg, okay? Okay, I'm not going to insult her. She, as a young lady, she got involved. We always encourage young people to get involved. She could have stayed, you know, in her bedroom and played Bobby Darin records or whatever they do now, okay? And she could have just gone out with her friends and gone and done this. But she got involved. So I will commend her for her passion and the fact that she does want to get involved, okay? Now, I don't believe in man-made global warming. I think there probably is some warming going on. I don't believe it is man-made. But this is reaching new heights of absurdity, all right? For her to get an honorary doctorate of theology, it does play into what Steve is saying, that there are clear religious overtones. And I guess when you're going to turn your back on the actual creator of the universe and deny the word of God and do all sorts of things like that, I guess you got to find something. You got to find something to use as a spiritual drive in your life, because that's the way we're created. What's your thoughts on Greta Thunberg?
Well,
is it Thunberg?
Thunberg.
Yes. Okay. Well, basically, I keep going back to Genesis 8, and I'm just going to keep reminding people what God's word says. Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. All right? Who's in charge of the seasons? God is.
Right.
As Christians, we are to worship the Creator and not the creation. All right? I agree with you. There may be some warming. There may be a tilting of the earth a little bit more towards the sun, that kind of thing. But folks, I've been here, 26, 27 years. And every year, and they're about to do it again, they make their hurricane prediction for this year. Most of the times they're wrong, but the mainstream media will never do a follow-up on that.
Right.
Those people were wrong again. You're not going to hear that. But if you get three hurricanes in a row, which happens from time to time, they'll say, there it is. There's climate change. They were right about this. And we have it just as we're suspicious of Dr. Fauci and his figures on COVID. You need to be very suspicious when they talk about, well, we've measured the temperature here, here, and here, and here. You know what? If you measure the temperature on the asphalt in Southern California in July, it's going to be hot.
Yes.
You know, it depends on where you put that thermometer.
Right.
And they play all kinds of games. This is more about, and kind of going along with the whole COVID thing, and Sandy was talking about this, this is more about control, folks.
Right.
That's what it's about. It's controlling the population. And if you don't go along with it, we're going to punish you.
You're a science denier.
There was a court decision in Europe this morning, and I'm just forgetting where the jurisdiction was, but they gave climate activists the right to sue the government, like her.
Yeah.
They gave her the right to sue the government if you don't think the government is moving fast enough. Now, this is what the court ruled in Europe this morning. If you don't think they're moving fast enough on the climate change agenda, you can now sue the government in Europe. This is where it's headed. This has nothing to do with science. This has nothing to do with facts. This has to do with a narrative.
Was it last year or the year before where they had no hurricanes?
Yeah.
You remember they had no hurricanes with like a month left in hurricane season.
Yes.
There's not been a single one coming out of the Caribbean to hit the United States.
I mean, you're hearing climate change. They're getting a lot of rain on the South, California coast right now. There's tremendous benefit from this, folks. The drought is gone in Southern California. The rains will cease out there, but they're making a big deal of it. It's got to be climate change, what's going on in California.
All right, Steve. Well, you got us fired up.
I'm still thinking
about, I might need a cupcake. Just
still
to settle
thinking about Bobby
down.
Guerin records.
I don't know where that came from. All I could think of was poor Greta Thunberg. Like in some 1950s Gidget movie.
That's
remember
like
Gidget?
An 80-year-old pop star to get a girl's heart going, right?
All right. So not my finest moment. Let's move on.
It was great. All right. This is an interesting law that they are considering. At least it's been introduced in the Knesset in Israel. I talked to John
Riley
today, and he's concerned about this. They two of the Knesset members, these are Orthodox Jews, Moshe Gafni and Yaakov Ashner, have introduced a bill that would make it illegal to share the gospel or to talk about Jesus in Israel, with violators being sent to prison for a year, 2 years, if you're talking to a young person.
Well, what are the chances of that passing? Now, they are pretty strict on that anyway in Israel.
This article that I have, which is from allisrael.com, I don't know how reliable it is, but they say there is a chance. The new coalition government that Bibi Netanyahu has in place is not friendly. He's like wrestling a lion every time he goes to the Knesset. And this is one of the things that they're trying to push through. I don't think he would be in favor of it, but not a more than less than a 50-50 chance of passing, I would say.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I asked John, I said, well, what about, like, Tim right now is in Israel.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's taken his group, like, down to the Sea of Galilee.
Right.
They're talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000 and walking on water.
Yeah.
Would that be illegal? He said, well, maybe, depending on how they interpret the law. Now, I don't know how Israel would be so stupid as to cut off evangelicals and tourism dollars like that.
Right. Well, Fred, what we need to remember is that Israel is primarily a secular nation.
Yes.
And according to Scripture, the conversion, although I certainly always encourage people to share the gospel with whomever they're with, mm-hmm. whether they be Jew or Gentile, but that the full conversion of the Jewish nation, you teach a lot on eschatology. You've taught Sunday school in the past. I don't know if you're doing it right now.
In the past, yes.
In the past. Mm-hmm. But that conversion will come at the return of Christ.
That's right.
Okay. So we need to remember that when we ask Christians to pray for Israel, we're asking God to protect that nation.
Yes.
And continue to keep his hand on it, because at one point they will all be, well, the vast majority will be converted and brought back. So, I mean, just mention a little bit.
Well, number one, they are his chosen people.
Right.
God chose a group of people, Abraham, and from there on, I mean, the Old Testament, that's the story,
right,
of God taking them, getting them out of Egypt, getting them to the promised land, which God deeded to them. A lot of people don't know the original deed, I think, is in Genesis 15, towards the last verses, yeah, all the way from the Nile to the Euphrates.
Right.
So when they bark about the west side of the Jordan, right, you know, being occupied, I say, wait a minute. The deed says it takes them all the way to the Euphrates, all right?
Right?
You want to talk about Iran, those areas. So God's chosen people. Now, we know that they rejected, which is why Jesus lamented in his last days before he was crucified, I wanted to put you under my wings, like,
right,
a chicken gathers its, but you rejected me.
Right.
And so Jesus is crucified. His blood is shed for Jew and Gentile who would believe in him.
Right.
The revival that you're talking about is coming. Now, what I believe is there's a seven-year tribulation period. And in the chapter 7 of Revelation talks about the 144,000 witnesses.
Right.
And it says 12,000 from each tribe. What tribes are they talking about?
Right.
They're talking about the 12 tribes. There's going to be 144,000 young evangelists who are going to go out, and they're going to preach the gospel. And they're going to be, I think there's going to be a great Jewish revival. Paul talks about it, I think it's Romans chapter 11.
Yes.
He calls upon the Gentiles, don't you dare get arrogant,
right,
about this. hey, listen, you're grafted in, and God can take the original olive tree and graft it back in.
The root is holy.
The root is holy. So that's Bible.
Right.
So the revival is coming, but you do have these Orthodox Jews who are trying to protect what would be the Old Testament teaching.
Yeah.
And they're trying to desperately hold on to it because, as you just said, Israel's a very secular nation.
Right.
They have gay pride parades, folks. You know,
it's mostly atheist and agnostic.
Yes, they are.
Right.
And so they're fighting that also as well. But I agree. This is not going to pass. One of the major drivers of their economy over there is all these tens of thousands of evangelicals
right.
that go there every year, and they take them to the Jordan where Jesus baptized and all of these sorts of things. They're not going to fight that. You know, so this is making news today, but I don't think it's going to be taken seriously in the Knesset. It's just not.
Okay. All right, Steve, let's go.
Yesterday, we talked about San Francisco and some of the woke stuff. I have another San Francisco story that just
awesome.
Got, man,
can't get enough of that.
All right. So there is a tech CEO. His name is Snal Antony, and he is in the Bay Area. He's in the Silicon Valley, but occasionally needs to send teams up to San Francisco for meetings. And he sent a team up, and when this team got there, they were in their meeting, and their car was broken into, and tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment was stolen, and it was two backpacks, passports, they were all gone. So Mr. Antony tweets this out. He says, "So now I need to include a pre-visit security brief to my people traveling to San Francisco. This is a big reason I'm hesitant to open up an office in the city versus keeping a remote team there and occasionally meeting up to have a meeting. And my teammates will be scarred forever. The robbery hits you at the core." Well, there's a former police commissioner who ran for the city district attorney and lost. And his name is John Hamaski. And John Hamaski tweeted back this: "Interesting. Would getting your car window broken and some stuff stolen leave you scarred forever? Is this what the suburbs do to you? Shelter you from basic city life experiences so that when they happen, you're broken to the core? Hello. You just get used to it. Maybe city life isn't for you. It's not the suburbs. There's crime. And here's the silver lining. I'm grateful most of it is property crime instead of violent crime. But I've always felt safe in San Francisco, even after being on the wrong side of violent crime."
Well, Fred, I got to tell you, if John Hamaski decides to run for the Chamber of Commerce, he's not winning. He's not winning that race either. Because if your answer to what this guy tweeted out is "suck it up, buttercup, this happens to everyone here, and we're just glad it's not violent, they just steal our stuff," that's not an answer.
You bunch of country wimps. Get used to the violence of the city. You know, it's not that bad. And so you get $10,000 of your stuff stolen. Hey, it's just life in the city.
Yeah, life in the fast lane.
Yeah.
Well, listen, especially since most people are figuring out that in San Francisco, the fact that property crime is skyrocketing is because they won't prosecute it.
Right. Yes.
Okay, and this guy doesn't see John Hamaski. He doesn't seem to understand the frustration, probably even of the people who live in San Francisco, let alone the people who might consider visiting.
Companies are leaving San Francisco because you see the videos all the time of, first of all, you see the videos of people walking into drugstores and walking out with bagfuls of stuff that they haven't paid for. And then you walk down the streets and it is drug abuse, it is homelessness rampant. It is, the city has gone to pot, and literally,
yes,
in harder drugs, if I may.
Yeah.
It is an ugly city now, and I used to love visiting the city. Oh, I used to love it. It's so pretty when it's well taken care of, and
yeah,
it's got beautiful sight lines. It's got the Golden Gate Bridge. It's got Ghirardelli chocolate.
Does it have any chocolate there?
I think it has Ghirardelli chocolate. It's a great city, and it's tragic what's happened to it.
Well, reality, as we mentioned yesterday, reality is walking up and slapping San Francisco's on the forehead, and they better learn their lesson and vote for people who will get tough on crime, or they could lose their city. Yes. Yep. All right. What else we got?
I want to make sure we leave time for something at the end here.
Oh, well, yeah. We're going to have to give me till when it gets to 27.
All right. Well,
this, or 27:30. That'll either way.
This is an author named Robin DiAngelo who wrote a book called White Fragility. I tell you, Martin Luther King and those civil rights leaders who have passed who worked hard to outlaw segregation must be turning in their graves, because listen to what Ms. DiAngelo, her solution is. She's on a Zoom call with another white woman. She's white. And a couple black ladies, and listen to what she has to say. Cut eight.
And then I'm a big believer in affinity space and affinity work. And I think people of color need to get away from white people and have some community with each other. And I'll let that go and maybe see if anyone else wants to pick it up.
She also suggested that you have to, a basic qualification for any employment is that you have to be ready to talk cogently and sympathetically about anti-racism. And that if they want to create a culture that actually spits out those who are resistant to it.
This is, what's this lady's name?
Robin DiAngelo.
She's the white lady that wrote.
She's white.
White Fragility.
White Fragility.
All right, Fred, listen. I don't, if black people don't want to hang around white people all the time, that's, I'm cool with that. Hmm. I mean, everyone should be free to hang around with whomever they want to hang around with. But we're not going to solve racial issues in this country if we go back to segregation, even if that segregation is voluntary.
Yes.
We're not going to have the conversations that matter if we separate.
You know, the dirty little secret is the liberals in this country want racism to continue.
Right.
This is what this
big
is,
money.
Yeah. This is why critical race theory is being promoted. It's the idea, let's keep dividing, let's keep dividing, let's keep dividing. Keep the tension up because they favor some government program or some government activity. Again, it all goes back to control. Listen, I listen to our own Bishop Jackson at 12:05 Central each day. Folks, you need to listen to him. Read his book, too, that he's got out there right now. But listen to him. It is about the heart. You know, people with Christians with a heart for the Lord, whether it's white skin or black skin, you're going to get together on that basis.
Yeah.
Because it's a commonality of belief. It's a commonality of worldview. And you know what? When the Lord gets a hold of your heart, skin color is not going to matter.
Right.
Black, brown, I don't care, white, whatever the case is, because you're going to have that brotherhood that's there.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to get to, but it is the left that's causing division in this country.
Well, it's Jesus certainly is the only hope we have in this nation, mm-hmm. and that is the absolute fact.
Yep.
All right, for our for folks concerned about our economic situation, I'm going to turn to the Three Stooges, because they are showing in this old clip why we're having problems with our money. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, I only got 10, so here's 10, and I owe you 10.
Thanks.
Hey, Mo, you owe me 20.
Well, here's 10, and I'll owe you 10.
Uh-uh. You owe me 20.
Here's 10, I owe you 10.
Here's the 10 I owe you.
Here's the 10 I owe you.
Here's the 10 I owe you. Good. Now we're all even.
That's how it works in banking.
Anyway, we can post that on
yes.
our Facebook page.
Yes.
We'll do that, folks. That's what's happening with your money, folks. It's getting passed around. Anyway, that's a pretty lame excuse to get the Three Stooges on our program. And Tim's not here, so I did what I thought was best.
Yeah, you're right.
Anytime you can include the Three Stooges, it's a good day. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for today's issues. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Lord willing, we'll see you right back here for more of today's issues.